You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be able to come to this great church and this great work, great pastor and great college. And the Lord's certainly been good to us, and it's an honor to be here tonight. And we do love Dr. Treiber. We appreciate Pastor and then Miss Cindy. We pray for them on a regular basis, and I thank God for their faithfulness and the friendship and what the Lord's done for the ministry here. And the pastor preaches at our home church. I work out of the Bible Baptist Church, and I know you're familiar with Pastor Ricky Gravely. He is our pastor. And Dr. Treiber is just recently with us in our Jubilee meeting, and is always a blessing. God uses him in a wonderful, wonderful way. And I'm grateful to be able to call him a friend and then also a friend of this church. Also want to take just a moment tonight and say thank you for your faithful prayer support, but also thank you for your faithful financial support. You've allowed Mrs. Ellis and I to be your hands and feet on the mission fields, in the prisons, here in the United States and around the globe. The ministry is now established on 5 of the 6 habitable continents. We have a representation in all 50 states in the United States of America. And then the Lord has opened 26 different countries around the world. We have 120 missionary families that are working with our ministry, both at home and abroad. And God continues to add labors. And one of the great mission fields of the world is right here in the western half of the United States. I shared with the men the other day that India now is the largest populated mission field in the world, followed by China, followed by the United States, being the third largest mission field in the world. We have divided the United States into 7 different regions, and the largest landmass of those 7 regions is in the western part of the United States. And so that makes the western half of the United States, from our perspective, the third largest mission field in the world. And so we're praying that God will send forth more laborers and to help us here in the prison. Many of you, I'm sure, have volunteered and helped the Whitlows and others that have come out in this area. And thank you so much. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. How many of you men, or let me start this way, how many of you ladies would love the opportunity to get your husband in prison for at least a day or two? Let me see a hand tonight, all right? Any takers? We've got a few tonight. Now we're going to really find out where the rubber meets the road tonight. I want to ask how many of you men would love to have your wife in prison for a day or two? Let me see your hand, all right? Well, we've got mostly henpecked men that are here tonight, but we've got a few takers. I say all that to say this. Why don't you come go with us? We go into the men's prisons and also the ladies' facilities, and I know the Whitlows and the team would be honored to take you in and to take you into the prison, and by the grace of God, we'll get you out and get you back home to your loved ones, and provided you're not wanted and they have an APB out for your arrest and you just happen to be, unwise and make the trip, but come go with us. See firsthand what the Lord's doing, and we're about reaching souls with the gospel of Christ and then discipling them, fulfilling the Great Commission. I don't say a whole lot about it because I don't want people getting the wrong impression. We're not about numbers. We're not about all of that. We're just about reaching one soul at a time with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But since the founding of the ministry, the Rock of Ages ministry this year is celebrating 49 years of existence. Next year, we'll have our 50th national conference. This year, we'll be at our Tabernacle Baptist Church there, Dr. Seitler's church where he pastored for several years. Pastor Doug Benton's now the pastor, and we'll have a 49th conference there. But if you go all the way back to 1977, when the ministry started as Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, Dr. Ed Blue was the founder of the work, and he kept up with all the souls that had been saved through the years, with exception of the very first year the ministry was established. And so when we go all the way back to that first year, the end of the first year, to the end of 2024, God had allowed the ministry to reach over 1 million souls with the gospel of Christ. And to God be the glory. It's not all because of Rock of Ages. It's because of churches here like North Valley Baptist Church and others that volunteer and go in with us and help us to reach the prisoners. And so I want to say thank you again for your help, your backing, your support. And then I would just mention this tonight. God has opened a very unique opportunity for us in the prisons, especially in America. We're right at 2 million in prison that are actually confined in state and federal military prisons in America. There's over 10 million that rotate in and out of the city county jails on an annual basis, and excluding those are the 2 million in prison. And out of those, a lot of the prisons, and also here in the state of California, are issuing tablets to the prisoners who are in prison. There's two main apps, Pando and I forgot the other one, that is in the prison. I'm sorry? Edovo, thank you, Brother Whitlow, that are in the prison on the apps, and we're able to upload preaching on these platforms, and prisoners can go on at any time and listen to the preaching of the Word of God. We've only had it launched about 8 to 10 months now, and already over 382,000 prisoners have listened to a gospel message on these tablets. Now, I don't know anywhere else you can go and preach to almost 500,000, approaching toward 500,000 in that short of time, and the Lord's been good to us. We've had over 232 that's gotten saved and give their life as a to the Lord as a result of that. So please join with us in prayer. And again, thank you, Dr. Treiber, for allowing us to be here tonight. Such a wonderful staff and such a wonderful place to be here. I'll tell you what, if you come to North Valley Baptist Church or Golden State Baptist College and don't get excited about the Lord, your exciter is broken and you need to go have it fixed. And so we thank the Lord for it. If you have your Bible tonight, let's go to the book of James in the New Testament. And the book of James, I would like to look at one verse of scripture tonight and hope that I can be of some help to you. And I want to go, if you would please, with me tonight to James chapter number 5, and we'll go to verse number 16. It is a very familiar passage of scripture tonight for those of us that have been saved any length of time. I recently preached this. In fact, it was during our church's Jubilee meeting, and I've just had it on my heart to preach it tonight and hope that I can be of some help to the church. And so if you found James chapter 5, verse number 16, and you're able, would you stand with me in reverence to the reading of the scriptures and the Word of God tonight? Notice in James chapter number 5, verse number 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Now notice the last phrase of this text. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now, our fathers, we bow before you tonight. We do love you and we thank you for this church. Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight with your people. And Lord, I would ask you that you'll continue to bless and supply the needs of this ministry. Thank you for the many souls that have been saved, the missionaries that have been sent around the world, and the ministry and the souls that have been saved throughout the years. Continue to bless, supply the needs, give the property, the buildings, and all that's needed for your glory and for your honor. Continue to bless Dr. Treiber. Have your hand upon him. Continue to give Miss Cindy healing and your good grace. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I was reading this passage of scripture sometime and meditating upon it, and the thought came to me, I wonder what were some of the great accomplishments in the Bible that were accomplished through the prayer of God's people and God's servants. As I looked at James chapter 5 and verse number 16, and I examined the latter part of that text to read it again, he said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When you look at the word effectual in its etymology, it literally means to have power to produce with an effect. And so what he is literally saying is the man who has power in his prayer is able to accomplish great things for the Lord. The word fervent in its etymology means to have something that burns. It's a passion, it's a drive in the heart. And so what literally James is saying is the man who has power with God and the man who has a fervency in his spirit, a burning in his heart to reach out and get hold of God, that is a man that has power in prayer. When men and women in the Bible prayed, things happened. Fire fell from heaven, rain was stopped, seas parted, prison doors were opened, dead things came to life, all through the prayer of God's men and God's ladies that were effectual, that were fervent in their prayer life. The same God that did it then is the same God who can do it today. He has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need revival in America. But revival is not worked up. Revival is prayed down from heaven because of God's people. Every revival in history that has ever transpired, whether it's in American soil or foreign soil, it has always started with the burden of someone to pray for God's divine power and God's divine favor. Could I just say to you, it happens when we as God's people get desperate enough to seek Him and His power and His divine presence. Could I say to you that revival will never come where prayer is neglected. Lockyer stated in his All the Doctrines and so forth of the Bible, and all of his series, he made this statement: there are no less than 650 specific prayers that are recorded in the pages of God's divine book. And then he goes on to say that there are no less than 450 of those prayers that have recorded answers in the divine texts of the Bible. Can I say to you, the greatest tragedy that we face tonight is not unanswered prayer, it is unoffered prayer. Our problem is not opposition, our problems are neglect of prayer and seeking God. Can I say it this way tonight, in all respect? We like to scroll through our gadgets more than we like to seek after God. We like to worry more than we like to worship. We talk to others more than we talk and we seek after God. Some prayers never reach heaven because they never leave the heart of the individual that is burdened. The altars of America used to be full of people that were burdened for souls, burdened for family, burdened for loved ones, burdened for children and grandchildren that need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And today the altars are dry. Our tears have long dried up and gone because the burden has left for those that are dying and going to hell without God. I thought about a man by the name of Hugh Sorrow. You wouldn't know the man or the name, but he's a man from the southeastern part of the United States, and he had a burden to go into the prisons and jails of our nation and to reach them with the gospel of Christ. And Brother Sorrow, when I first got saved, he'd make his rounds to our church and share his testimony, and he literally lived out of an old station wagon. He'd eat sardines and Benny Winnies. You know he had to have the grace of God upon his life to live like that. And he would go and he'd just travel down the road and find a jail or a prison, go up and knock on the door and say, "I'd like to preach to your prisoners if you don't mind." And they'd open the door and let you in, and he'd preach and multitudes come to know Christ as their Savior. But besides that, he was a praying man. He'd come home sometimes, his wife, they were right there outside of Tennessee Temple at the time. Dr. Robertson was still there, and he would get out of his car in the snow and the rain and the winter and the heat, and he'd walk about 5 feet and he'd bow on his knees and pray and say, "Oh God, please raise up a ministry. God, raise up someone that'll go and reach these men and women for the gospel of Jesus Christ." Many times Mrs. Missouri would go out, his wife, and take a blanket and lay it over him because he would lay and pray prostrate or on his knees before God, asking God to save the sinner and asking God to move in the heart and the lives of those that were down and out, to save the soul of those that were steeped in the dredges of sin. And he'd walk a few more feet, and sometimes Miss Missouri said it would take him as long as an hour, and sometimes even 2 and 3 hours, to move about 75 feet from his car to his front door to get in the door. Why? Because he was a man who believed in prayer. And it is estimated that Brother Sorrow prayed the Rock of Ages Ministries into existence today. And now hundreds of thousands have come to know Christ as their Savior, not because of us, not because of our labor, not because of 49 years of missionary work, but because some years ago there was a man by the name of Hugh Sorrow who had a burden to pray and couldn't walk more than a few feet without bowing on his heart and his knees and pouring his soul out to God, that God would work and God would move and meet the need. I want to give you about 4 or 5 things as time allows tonight about great accomplishments through prayer in the Bible and the Word of God. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17, and verse number 1, we have Elijah. Elijah's going to pray and the heavens are going to be closed. And then he'll pray 3.5 years later and the heavens will open again. And the Bible says in 1 Kings 17:1, Elijah says that there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And then in the book of James 5:16-18, the Bible records that he prayed again and the heavens gave rain. And Elijah was a man of prayer. He was a man that believed that God was able to move heaven and earth, if need be, to answer the prayer of the man of God. Elijah enters in to the presence of a tyrant, a king, and he announces God's judgment upon him. And as he bows on his knees in prayer, he asks God to close the heavens above him in the very presence
presence of a tyrant king. And as he was there and he prayed and he lifted his heart to God, God heard and God answered his prayer. May I say to you that God altered the laws of nature to answer the prayers of Elijah? God had set the boundaries of the ocean. God has set the laws of nature and the winds and the rain. And the Bible says in the Psalm that he taketh the wind out of his treasury. And God has a treasury with his wind. And we find that God answered the prayers of Elijah and moved and the laws of nature that he himself had set. When the rain came, he ran there ahead of Ahab's chariot to Jezreel. And the power of Elijah's prayer is recorded in the Bible. And it's one of the great miracles and accomplishments through prayer in the divine word of God, in the book of God. The power of Elijah's life. You say, well, preacher, that was in those days, but how about today? I'm glad you asked. There was a group of ladies, they called themselves the Elms ladies. They came to Dr. Blue and Dr. Garris some years ago, and they said to them, said, we'd like to do something special for the prisons, and you guys are in the prisons of America. What do they need? And Brother Blue said, well, give us some time to think about it, pray about it, and we'll let you know. And he came back and he said, you know, the state and the federal prisons, they issue shoes and undergarments, and they issue their clothing, but one thing they do not issue is handkerchiefs. And I believe we could use handkerchiefs. And so the ladies began to pray, and they bought sewing machines and sergers, and they began to buy huge bulk pieces of material. And they'd take and cut them out in the form of a handkerchief. And they would take them and they would put a stitch around them, and they would fold them and press them and fold them and press them until they had them folded up in the size of a handkerchief. Now don't worry, there weren't prayer handkerchiefs. Bear with me tonight. And they would take those and they'd take a little rubber stamp, and on the front of them they'd stamp them and they'd say, Jesus loves you. And inside each fold they'd stuff them full of gospel tracts. We'd walk through the prison and sometimes men and ladies would say, I don't want any of that religious stuff. Go on down the way, preacher. We'd pull out a handkerchief and say, would you like to have a handkerchief? Oh, yes, I'll take one of them, preacher. And when they'd take those, they'd take the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have multitudes of those little ladies, about six or eight of them, from their 60s up into their 80s, and one or two of them up in their 90s, had sewed and made over 1.5 million handkerchiefs for us to hand out in the prisons across America. They've all passed away now, and the ministry has come to a halt. They went to South Alabama outside of Montgomery one day to buy material, and they took Arlie's husband's truck, and they pulled up to the big company there, and it was a torrential downpour. In fact, there were severe storms in the area and tornadoes in the distance. They walked into the factory and spoke to the owner and said, we're here to pick up the material, and told them what they did with it. And the gentleman said, look, we'll sell you all the material you want, but you're surely not going to take it back in this torrential downpour that we have. It'll be ruined by the time you get it back to Ooltewah, Tennessee, outside of Cleveland. And Arlie looked at him and said, sir, she said, this is God's ministry, and this is God's material, and God will take care of it. The man said, okay, and so they loaded up. I don't even think tonneau covers even existed in those days. No camper cover, just an open bed of a truck, and they loaded it and laden it with heavy bulks of white material. Arlie gathered the ladies together, and they prayed and said, God, this is your material. God, this is representing souls that need the gospel of Christ. And Lord, we're going to dedicate this material to you. And God, we ask you to protect it while we take it back to Tennessee. And while they were praying, the clouds began to part over that company. They got in their truck and put it in drive and drove out. And the clouds that had parted, the sun literally shone upon that truck. They went up Highway Interstate 59 up into Tennessee. At Tennessee, they hit the 24 Interstate going down toward Ooltewah, Chattanooga, Tennessee. From there, they hit Interstate 75 and went north. And the whole trip, the clouds had parted and the sun was shining upon them and moved all the way down the interstate till they got to Ooltewah, Tennessee. They backed their vehicle up and they unloaded the material. And Arlie gives a testimony. He said, as soon as we unloaded the last bulk of material, she said, all of a sudden the clouds closed and the rain came. And they had a Thanksgiving service to the God of heaven. God had parted the storm to protect his servants and his ministry. May I say to you, my friend, God's able. He's able to answer prayer. He's able to do it again today. You say, I don't believe that God did that. That's our problem. We don't believe that God's able to do it again. George Washington had his back against the river. British General Howe with 30,000 experienced British troops. Washington with 18,000 troops, inexperienced. He had lost 1,500 wounded or killed in the battle. Two of his top generals had been taken captors. Howe was getting ready to end the war. And that night, George Washington called for a special season of prayer. They bowed on their knees and prayed for divine intervention. Amen. And while they prayed, the storm clouds rolled in and the torrential rain poured all night long. Thunder and lightning in the area, and George Washington was able to ferry his troops all night long across the river to escape Howe's army. But morning came, and there were still a handful of men that would have to face certain death and be taken captive. They prayed again, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a heavy fog moved in so thick that they say you couldn't see more than a few feet in front of you. And during that time, they were able to escape, the rest of them, across the river. And as soon as the last boot steps to shore on the other side, the winds came and drove the fog away. The storm ceased, and all of a sudden, God had delivered him. I say to you, we serve the same God today that George Washington served. We serve the same God today that Elijah served. What seems out of our control is still under God's control. Prayer can change situations that feel permanent. I remember the founder of our ministry, Dr. Ed Bloom. He gave the testimony that he went into the ministry full time. He said he was sitting there in his little Joyce came to him, his little daughter, and had not a Sears catalog, but a Sears and Roebuck catalog. And said, he jumped up in my lap and said, Daddy, so I'd sure like to have this little dress. And said it was a little white frilly lacy dress. And Brother Blue said, the devil jumped on my shoulders and said, look what you've done, Blue. Ed Blue, you've made a fool out of yourself. You stepped out by faith and you can't provide that little dress for Joyce. You're going to starve to death. He said, I went to bed defeated that night. He said, I asked God, what have I done? But he said, long early in the morning before sunrise, there was a knock came at my door. He said, I went to the door and there were two elderly ladies from the church that I'd pastored when I had left and gone into full-time evangelism. And they said, Pastor Blue said, we're on our way into town. We have a meeting early this morning and we're apologized to be so early, but we had something that we'd like to give to you. Said, here just a few days ago, we ordered a little dress for our granddaughter out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog. And said, it's a little white lacy frilly dress, and we just got to thinking about it. I believe, she said, that little Joyce might be able to wear that dress. And she pulled it out of that bag and gave it to him. And preacher, was the exact dress that his little Joyce had set on his lap and said, Daddy, I'd sure like to have that little dress. And Brother Blue said, I stood up and I said, devil, get off of my shoulder. Get out of my house. That's the God we serve. And then a God who answers prayer in impossible situations. The Bible tells us that Elijah's on Mount Carmel. And there he has challenged the prophets of Baal. He has had them to build the altar, and I'll not go through all the story. You know it tonight well. How that they cried and cut themselves and danced on the altar, and their God never heard and answered their prayer. But Elijah rebuilds the altar. He has a trench dug, and it's drenched with water and filled to the brim with water. All the altar is flooded with water, and Elijah steps back and he just prays a simple prayer. And the fire fell from heaven and licked up not only the altar, but all the dust and the water in the trenches. You see, Elijah faced an impossible situation, but not with God, for he's the God of impossible situations. Prayer provokes God's power to work in impossible situations in our life. I remember years ago, Mrs. Ellis, when we were in Wyoming as a missionary chaplain at the Wyoming State Penitentiary, she got several of the ladies together and was taking them down to Denver, Colorado, just to get away with a little excursion with them. It was supposed to have been a nice day, but weather can change in a heartbeat in the state of Wyoming in that Rocky Mountain region. And on the way back, they got into a blinding snowstorm. And while they were going down the road, they hit a patch of ice and went off an embankment. And it wasn't a steep embankment to cause them to roll, but it was a deep embankment with a slight slope. And when they got to the bottom, she was trying to get out, and the tires would just set and spin. There was in a vehicle, no four-wheel drive, not even a front-wheel drive. And she tried to rock it back and forth and couldn't get out. We had people that froze to death every year. I remember one year we had a family that was getting off an exit, and the car broke down, and he left his wife and children in the car, and he was going to walk to get help. They found him 200 yards from the vehicle the next day, froze to death, and his entire family froze to death in the car. We've seen a 35 below zero with normal temperatures and 60, 65 below with chill factors. It was a critical situation. Their life was in jeopardy. Miss Ellis finally put the car in park and said to the ladies, "We need to pray, and we need to pray now." They began to pray, and after prayer, she said, "Ladies, let's see what happens." She put the car in drive and stepped on the gas and came right up on top under the asphalt. She stopped and said, "We're going to thank God for getting us out of here." And when she stopped to put the car into park, she noticed that it wasn't in drive at all. The car had been in neutral the whole time. God, no doubt, had reached down and pushed him right out of the bank, up into the asphalt. That's the God that we serve. It's the same God that answers prayer today. He's able.
Yeah.
I remember some years ago, we were just became missionaries. We didn't have any support. We're going down the road, and I'm from Georgia. And where I come from, we were in a very poor, rough area, redneck area of the state, and just in the lower part of the Appalachian Mountains. And we're going down the road, and we're out west somewhere. I don't even remember where we're at. And we were out on deputation, and Mrs. Ellis looked at me. She said, "You know what I'd like to have?" I said, "What's that?" She said, "I'd like to have some mocha." I said, "What is mocha?" I'd never heard of it before. Back in those days, I don't think hardly anybody had. She said, "I'd like to have some mocha." I said, "What's mocha?" She said, "Well, it's chocolate and coffee mixed together." And I said, "People drink that stuff?" She said, "They sure do." I said, "I don't know where you'd get that stuff." And I used, you know, I enjoyed the outdoor sports, and I'd ask for a new fishing rod or hunting rifle or something, and she'd always say, "Pray for it, big boy." And so it was my opportunity to get even. So when she said, "I'd like to have some mocha," I said, "Pray for it, young lady." She said, "Okay, I will." And so she bowed her head and said, "God, I'd like to have some mocha." And I'm thinking to myself, I bet God don't even know what mocha is. And about that time, she said, "Stop, stop the car, stop it now." I slammed the brakes on, I thought was about to wreck. She opened the door, jumped out of the car, ran around in front of the car, bent over in the yellow line, picked something up, and I thought about putting it in drive and going on down the road. I thought, man, she has lost it. She got back in the car, had a little can about like that, and about yay thick, and she said, "God gave me my mocha." I said, "What is that stuff?" She said, "It's mocha." And it was a powder mix that you mixed in with hot water, and it had been open. I said, "You're not going to drink that stuff, are you?" She said, "I sure am." I said, "But it's been open." She said, "But God provided it. It'll be okay." She said, "You want some?" I said, "No, God will kill me. I didn't pray for it. I was critical of it." But that's the God we serve. He's able to work in impossible situations. And then he parted the Red Sea. In the book of Exodus 14, 15 through 16, the Bible says in verse 15, God said to Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me?" And so we find that they had their back against the wall. They were at literally a dead-end street. The Egyptians were behind them, the mountains on the side, and the Red Sea before them. But may I remind you that prayer provides the path for God to hear and God to answer. When there's no way, God's able to make a way. When we pray, Israel stood at what seemed to be a dead-end street. When we seem to have no options, prayer reveals God's options. When we seem like we have no answers in life, prayer brings God's answers. And when we have no way of escape, prayer makes a way for God to give us an escape. And I'll just go through this tonight and give you a couple things and I'll be done. God's able to do the impossible. I remember years ago, a pastor in the northern Florida area, not Jacksonville, but a little bit north of there. He had gone out and got a lawn for the church, and they'd build a beautiful auditorium, and they had balloon payments. And they were approaching a $250,000 balloon payment. The finances weren't coming in, and he couldn't pay it. Well, he was discouraged and despondent, and so he went into his office on a morning, and he sat there, and he called his secretary, and he said, "Under no circumstances am I to be bothered and interrupted today. No phone calls, no visits, nothing. And I mean nothing." And the pastor took out a pen and paper, and he wrote a suicide note. He took his pistol out of his briefcase, loaded it, cocked the hammer, and stuck it to his temple. And just as he's getting ready to squeeze the trigger, the secretary rings through to his office. He said, "Pastor, I know you told me not to call you to bother you, but there's a gentleman here who says it's urgent. He has to see you." He said, "Did I not tell you I want no interruptions?" She said, "Yes, sir, but Pastor, it is urgent." He said, "I want no interruptions," and hung up on her. He took the pistol and put it back to his temple. And the phone rang again. And his secretary said, "Pastor, I'm sorry, I know what you said, but this man is adamant." She said, "Pastor, he will not leave me alone. He's got to see you." He said, "I want no phone calls," and hung up on her. He took the pistol, and before he could get it back to his temple, she rang the phone and said, "He's getting ready to come barging through your door if you don't say you're going to see him." He said, "Give me 5 minutes and I'll call him in." He put his note up, put his pistol up, unloaded it, put it in his drawer, and shut his desk drawer. The man walked in and said, "Pastor, you don't know me, I don't know you, but I haven't slept all night long." He said, "I drove by the church on yesterday, and something in my heart just started stirring, saying, you need to give that church an offering." And he said, "I tried to dismiss it and put it out of my mind and out of my heart." He said, "But I couldn't get rid of it." He said, "Pastor, I don't know what your need is or if you even have a need, but," he said, I know that I'm supposed to give you an offering." He took out his check and wrote it for $250,000, ripped it out and put it on the pastor's desk. The pastor thanked him, prayed with him. The man left. He told his secretary, "I'll be back as quickly as possible." He ran to the bank, went to the teller, and the teller, he said to her, said, "Ma'am, I need to know if this is good." She looked at it and said, "Oh, that's not only good, there's a whole lot more where that came from, Pastor." Said he got out of the teller after he'd got it, the money had went over after the deposit and paid the balloon payment that was due that day, walked out of the bank with his chest stuck out, and said in his heart, "God, I was just a kidding. I wasn't going to do that." He said, "I got to the parking lot. I drove up to that little gate where you get out, and the little person collecting the money looked at me and said to me, said, that'll be 25 cents. He said, "No problem. Just a minute, ma'am." Looked in the seat, under the carpet, in the back. He said, "Ma'am, I don't have a quarter." He said, "The Holy Spirit of God smote my heart and said, I can give you $250,000, and you can't even get a quarter to get out of the parking lot." That's the God that we serve. He shut the mouth of lions.
Yep.
He parted the Red Sea.
Yep.
Prayer brought the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit, and the anointing in the upper room as they prayed in unity and in unison. And the Holy Spirit of God fell in power. I'm going to ask you tonight just a couple of questions and I'm done. Do you pray? Do you really believe God's able to work and save your loved ones? God still answers prayer. Do you pray casually or do you pray fervently? Do you pray occasionally or do you pray continuously? Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou
knowest not. There are some things, God said, that I'll only show you through prayer. Young man, young lady, sitting under the sound of my voice, mother and dad, you have wayward children you've prayed for, but the tears have dried up. You have a family situation nobody knows, but it's on the brink of separation and deep divide. Have you prayed together? You're in a financial crisis. Do you believe God's able to hear and answer that prayer? How about it tonight? Amen. Call unto me, Amen. And I will answer thee, Amen. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I believe you ought to pray tonight and renew our commitment to seek his face until we hear from heaven. Fathers, we bow before you tonight. I'd ask that you'll be with your church and your people. God, no doubt in a congregation this size, there are needs and necessities that no one else knows about. The burden of the heart. Lord, give us effectual, fervent prayers. Give us power with you. God, move tonight. Help us to be a praying people. I ask in Christ's name.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.